Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and we've got a really, really special show for you today. I've got Laura McGregor with me. When Laura was 30 years old and 7 months pregnant, she was first diagnosed with breast cancer. Laura was, of course, completely overwhelmed, but got a much-needed pick-me-up when a surprise package came in the mail, a package of headscarves that a stranger, a friend of a friend, was passing along as a hand-me-down after completing chemo. The scarves were not only a beautiful and practical gift, they represented to Laura that she, too, could one day pass them on to someone else. She could battle cancer, beat it, and go on to live her life. "You can do this," the note said. Laura took it to heart. Afterwards, she created Hope Scarves, in which women share scarves and stories of survival with other women facing cancer. So far, they've sent 8,000 scarves to women and some men in every state in 16 countries. It's a nice story of an individual woman building an organization from scratch that is helping people around the world. But the story actually gets even more interesting from there. 4 years ago, the cancer came back. Laura now has an orange-sized tumor in her lower back and is considered stage 4 because the cancer has spread. While she still seems to have an amazing amount of energy and looks like the picture of health, she knows that she will most likely die of cancer while still a very young woman. In addition to all the usual concerns this would cause for a young woman, the mother of young children, it also caused her to rethink how she's been spending her career. For years, she has been building an organization around scarves and stories of survival to spread hope. But what about those women who don't get stories of survival? What about when there isn't a lot of hope? This caused a serious rethinking of the way Hope Scarves talks about and thinks about cancer. They went through and scrubbed the website of phrases that equated hope with beating cancer. For some people, making the most of every minute you have, even when it's years or decades less than you should have, is the real victory. They started a research fund because they realized that while collecting and sharing hope is important, the ultimate hope is for a cure. Laura is just an amazing, inspiring person, and her story of building this wonderful organization from the ground up is extremely powerful. Please help me in welcoming Laura McGregor.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. So this is obviously a very inspiring story. So why don't you just fill in a little bit? We've told a lot about that in your bio, but why don't you just fill in a little bit about your story and in the gaps here in the bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I was originally diagnosed with breast cancer when I was 30 years old and 7 months pregnant with our second child. And like any cancer diagnosis, this was devastating. You know, I think our unique experience of, you know, me being pregnant and being so young certainly made my story that much more frightening. But we were surrounded by amazing friends and family and doctors who helped us through the treatment. I started chemotherapy actually while I was pregnant with our son. I had 3 rounds of Adriamycin, Cytoxan, chemo while I was pregnant, and he was delivered healthy and at full term. And one of the lasting kind of memories of that whole experience, and something that many people can relate to who have had cancer themselves, is I had a red drug called the Red Devil while I was pregnant with Bennett, and he actually was born with bright red hair. And so we all had a moment of laughter in the midst of a crazy time on this beautiful day when he was born healthy with this bright red hair. And I went through my treatment, and as you mentioned, I received this box of scarves from a woman named Kelly, and it just meant so much to me to get these scarves in the midst of my treatment. I hadn't given much thought to losing my hair, and when I received the scarves from Kelly, I was so inspired that she had taken the time to pass them on, and every time I wore them, I felt her strength and hope. And after about a year of treatment, of chemotherapy, a double mastectomy, you know, full kind of living in this alternative reality for a full year, I was ready to pass those scarves on to someone else. And I asked Kelly, you know, what I should do with them. And she said, just find someone else who can use them. And I took them to a conference with the Young Survival Coalition, and I met a woman named Roberta, and I gave her the scarves. And I realized that it meant just as much to me to pass them on as it did to receive them, that I needed them at the point where I was starting treatment and I wore them. But then the process of giving them to Roberta and encouraging her and passing along this strength that I had gotten from Kelly and now, you know, had added my own experiences and strength to was even, you know, equally meaningful to pass them on. And I gave them to Roberta. And then she wore them throughout her treatment. And that just planted a seed in my heart for a way to encourage women with the practical gift of a scarf, but also with an inspiring story and using writing as a healing art to reflect on your experience and pass along your scarves and your stories to others facing cancer. And so my personal experience of both receiving that scarf and passing it on was the inspiration to start Hope Scarves. And I began, you know, this nonprofit organization in the spare bedroom of my house with my 2-year-old volunteer and some friends by my side. And now, 6 years later, we've grown into an international nonprofit organization. We have sent nearly 10,000 scarves around the world. And it's the same simple experience that women receive every week in receiving this scarf and story from someone else who's had cancer. And then when they are ready, they can send the scarf back and pass it on to someone else through Hope Scarves. And so it's really been a beautiful way to turn the scary experience in our life into something meaningful to help others.
Wow, that is incredible. So when they send the scarf back, then is it with their personal note so that you then handle the passing that on to a person in need?
Yes, correct. So we collect scarves and stories from people all around the country. People donate them, find us online on our website, hopescarves.org. We go to conferences, talk to survivors, and collect their scarves and stories. So our collection is thousands of scarves and stories, and then we pass them on to other people in treatment. And then when people are ready, they can return their scarf, and then they can share their story on our website. We have a story form, and we also do interviews with people where they can call and tell their story, and we'll record it for them and add their story to their scarf. And some of our scarves already carry 4 different stories. They've been to 4 different people and come back to Hope Scarves. We dry clean them in between and press them, make sure they're still in good shape, and then we send them on to others in treatment. So we've really kind of proudly become known as the Sisterhood of the Traveling Scarves.
Oh, that's awesome. That really is. So then tell us then about now this is a business. So it's a purpose really kind of in the beginning, and now it's a business. So how has this shaped your lifestyle?
Absolutely. You know, it's an incredible honor to have turned my personal experience and something I'm so passionate about into a business and into a job that helps me support my family and employees, some other really beautiful creative women who have come alongside me to do this, you know, to be part of our work. So it started in, you know, in my spare bedroom as a volunteer. I just worked without pay for several years until we really got on our, you know, on our feet and hired our first staff person. And as a nonprofit business, we are, you know, the money we raise for the organization, the money that supports our organization is all reinvested into our mission. So it's different than a for-profit business in that way, but other than that, it runs just like a business. You know, we've got to manage our finances and our inventory and our marketing and PR, you know, just like any for-profit business. And I'm really proud of the fact we raise nearly $500,000 a year now to support our efforts, sending scarves and stories, and then also our research fund that you mentioned earlier. So it really has grown from a my spare bedroom. We now have a beautiful studio space in Louisville, Kentucky. We have 5 part-time staff members and hundreds of volunteers who help make our mission possible every day.
Wow, that's incredible. So what do you think then that two of your greatest skill sets that have been really helpful in you taking this business from your bedroom, if you will, to really making it into the business it is today?
Well, I think my love of storytelling is a pretty big part of our work. I'm a daughter of a storyteller. My mom actually was a professional storyteller while I was growing up and a librarian, and I have always loved reading and writing. And so I come with a strong communications background to the organization. My professional work before starting Hope Scarves was all in nonprofit, and I worked in communications and fundraising for several other nonprofit organizations, the United Way and the McWane Science Center in Birmingham, Alabama. And so I brought that skill set of telling stories and writing to the organization, and I've always remained a strong focus on our story. And whether it's communications or fundraising or, you know, managing our Salesforce database, for me, it all comes back to what is our story? What is our unique story that we are trying to do, and how are we sharing that with the world? And that has allowed us to remain true to our mission and our core values, but also allowed us to really spread our wings and share our story as we've grown as an organization. And I think probably the second skill set would be, you know, I think being a dreamer. You know, I'm just, I think I come with a creative ideas, and, you know, I'm always trying to collaborate and connect with people and find ways to work together and partner and just dream about this idea. And that has really allowed us to grow quickly, and but also be really true to our, you know, who we are and what our mission is. And I value collaboration as just a really big cornerstone for our work. We rely on partnerships with other nonprofits, our, you know, our donors, our volunteers, as a way to really effectively and efficiently do the work that we're doing. So I would have to say, you know, communications and, you know, storytelling, but also that focus on collaboration and being a dreamer.
Very good. So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments that has been super meaningful for you in all of this?
I mean, I could say like some like awards and things like that I've gotten that have meant a lot. I've been named to the 100 People Changing the World of Cancer by Mass General Hospital and their national awards called the 100, with the likes of like Joe Biden and other like really incredible people who they honor. I've also been named, you know, kind of 40 under 40 and a citizen laureate with the Younger Women's Club and like different awards and things like that. But I think my kind of proudest accomplishment isn't in an award. It's in private, personal moments with the people we support. Mm-hmm. And when I see somebody really benefiting from a Hope Scarf and it having that deep impact in them that it did for me when I got that first scarf from Kelly, that's when my heart is just probably the proudest. And that happens. Sometimes that's just an email that we get back from a recipient that just says, you know, I got my Hope scarf on a day that I was feeling really low, and this package brought me joy. And, you know, those moments where I know that people are having that same experience I did is really what it's all about for me.
Absolutely. But I do think it's important to note, I'm sure that's what continues to drive you and makes you feel really great about everything you're doing. But a lot of those awards and recognition as far as press helps those individual stories become possible for more people with that recognition. So congratulations on all of those.
Thank you. You know, I it's so true. I call it the ripple effect. You know, you never know when you're going to be speaking to, an auditorium full of people. We were named Small Business of the Year by Greater Louisville, Inc., last year, and I got to speak to this huge ballroom full of business leaders. And while the award was amazing and we were so honored to receive it as an organization, it was the people that came up to me afterwards and asked how they could send a scarf to their cousin or that, you know, owned a catering business and wanted to know if they could donate catering to our next event. And the ripple effect of what these kind of honors have brought to our organization has been really impactful.
Yes, I'm guessing. Absolutely. So then tell us about a challenge that you faced and then how you're working through that.
Well, I think anyone who starts a business realizes that you start the business because you have a love for, the mission or the kind of the creative piece, you know, of that. But then you realize you also have to do QuickBooks and, you know, like manage, you know, your office cleaning schedule and, you know, just like all the things that go along with the business that maybe aren't your strong suit. And so I have learned so many different things that, you know, skills and things that I've grown in doing, but I certainly like finance and managing our books was really hard for me at the beginning, just learning accounting and all that. I'm very fortunate now that we have a professional who does that and I don't have to feel so anxious about, you know, making sure we're doing our taxes right and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that is certainly kind of an overwhelming feeling when you're starting a business is like doing all these other pieces you didn't realize, you didn't know about. But for us uniquely, I would say too, the challenge has been managing our promotion with our capacity. In that as I was saying, like, I just want to tell the world about Honey Hope Scarves and I want to share our story and I want to be on the Today Show and I want to be on Oprah, you know, I want to talk to Ellen. I want to like be out there telling the world about Hope Scarves because I am so passionate about it. And while I feel well, I want to tell the world about what we're doing. But I also have to be mindful that if we do that, we have to be able to send Hope Scarves to 600 people the next day, you know, so we always have to manage our promotion with our capacity and being really true to that mission of every scarf that we send has a survivor story, scarf tying instructions, information about Hope Scarves. It is hand packaged by a volunteer with a personal note. It is, you know, it takes a lot of love and time to do the work that we've created. And so we have to always balance that promotion with the capacity that we have. But we're at a really exciting time as our organization in that we really feel like we are ready to just spread our wings and have some of those, you know, broader awareness opportunities for our organization. Right now, we send about 50 scarves a week through personal and gift requests. And then we also have a partnership program with about 17 hospitals around the country where women receive Hope Scarves as part of their treatment care. And so, you know, we really are at a good place, but we're also like, we feel like we can double that. So it's an exciting time for us.
Wow, that's awesome. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, you know, I unfortunately have a unique perspective, which I wouldn't wish on anyone. And I have, you know, while I would give it all away in an instant, I have come to realize this is the reality I live in. And so I am making the very best of that. And so, you know, I am living with a terminal cancer diagnosis. And so I really have this incredible perspective of living intentionally and purposefully every day. And so I make choices that I think are, you know, I think some people get overwhelmed with their professional obligations and their, you know, parental obligations and their relationships and, you know, all the things in life that cause our world to be kind of chaotic. Mm-hmm. I have all that too, but I have the almost like the opportunity to make choices that really maybe I would have been apologetic about before. Or like if I'm going to, you know, start my day every morning with a yoga class and I schedule that in, I don't apologize for not being able to get into the office until 10 because I am going to have that work-life balance that I know I start my day with exercise and meditation and you know, that helps me the rest of my day. So I wasn't as intentional about that before, but I am now. And, you know, I really, it'd be nice if everybody could feel that way, you know, about like, how do you really find that place in your life where you are feeling the most joy and living intentionally, you know, every day. And I have a purpose-driven life because I've been able to start this nonprofit organization. But I also, you know, really work to have a purpose-driven life in my relationships and my, you know, just finding joy in the way I prioritize things. And so I live a joy-filled life right now because I realize that this is so fragile and my cancer could progress and I could be in a completely different place in a month. I just don't know. And so I make every day my happy place. And that doesn't mean I don't have to do laundry and pay bills and get my oil changed. You know, I do right. all that stuff too, but I have an immense gratitude that I think allows me to really ground myself in joy and in appreciation for this beautiful life.
That's pretty incredible. And you're right. Sometimes it takes for people to get to that place to have something devastating or a sort of a wake-up call for them to get to that place. And it would be really nice if people could just be more purposeful and live life with joy before that is a situation for them. And I think that is challenging for people. I think a lot of people don't get to that place until there is a sudden, you know, I'll call it a wake-up call for nothing else. It's suddenly like a reality check of what is important, what's really important. And I think when people aren't faced with a struggle or a challenge or, you know, something of like what you're dealing with, I just think people just take for granted. And instead of being in that place of gratitude, they just take for granted everything that they have and that it's always going to be there. And then they struggle with a lot of things that probably are insignificant in the scheme of life. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, completely. And it's like not at their fault.
Right.
It's like you can't really come to this perspective without facing this adversity. And like that's why I say, like, I would give it all away. I would totally give it all away to not have this burden on my shoulders, on my family's shoulders, but we can't. And so we must turn it into something meaningful. And that is this perspective of living life with gratitude and just this realization. I am living my one life and it is beautiful. And right now I am healthy and strong and I am honored to drive an hour to my son's soccer game, even though it's going to, you know, interfere with blah, blah, blah. You know, like, yep. This is what I'm doing and it's amazing. And you can't really fall in. It's hard to come to that without that. You know, there's that saying, adversity builds character. You know, facing these traumatic experiences allow you to have that perspective. And it is, but it's hard work. I mean, I can get caught up in all of the crazy just the same. And I will take a deep breath and I will think about, how do I want to prioritize this time? And what of this is bringing joy to my life? And what can I let go? And how do I reframe my feeling about this situation so that I'm coming at this from a place of joy instead of stress? And, you know, so it's a constant. And I think you can work on that from wherever background, you know, whatever experiences you bring, if you're intentional about it. I just have a regular reminder with what my diagnosis is. And I also have created some beautiful friendships with women around the country who are facing metastatic breast cancer, who are very, very sick and whose treatments aren't working. And I have seen them go from, you know, being healthy and stable to being very sick and weak and unable to take care of their children in a very short period of time. And so I have a perspective that just allows me to be grateful and to realize that there are moms that I know and there are, you know, would love to be able to do what I can do right now with my children. And so I'm not going to be stressed about this. I am going to be happy about this. And there are women I know who were never able to have children because they had cancer when they were 20 and they would give anything to have, you know, kids or, you know, just everybody's experiences are different. And you bring that perspective to your situation and you just hopefully, you know, don't get as overwhelmed and, you know, really bring it back to gratitude and to living each day to the fullest, you know, just living the best life.
Wow. So what advice, Laura, would you give to people who want to be an entrepreneur, who want to sort of start something, if you will, in that basement or that extra spare bedroom and really make something for themselves?
Mm-hmm. So I have two kind of bits of advice. One is like super practical and was given to me when I was looking at starting Hope Scarves. And that was to do a really detailed search to see if anyone else is doing what you're thinking about doing. And that was important specifically in the nonprofit realm, but I think with any, you know, business is not to create duplication or to put a ton of time and money and effort into something that's already being done. And instead, from a nonprofit perspective, if you have an idea and someone else is doing it, figure out if you can collaborate, if you can build off of what they're doing. You don't reinvent the wheel or invest a ton of time and money into something if you can work together and find a way to bring your idea to enhance something that's already out there. If you find that your idea isn't being done, then you have the runway to, you know, pursue it. You know, I found with Hope Scarves that there were lots of places that people could get free scarves, cancer resource centers, nonprofit organizations. But the piece that was unique to us was the story. And the idea that every scarf comes with a survivor story, and then you wear it, and then you return it, and you send it on to someone else. And so knowing that that was the differentiator that really set our organization apart, that has been the part that we have continued to focus on and invest in, is that it's not just a free scarf. It's a scarf that comes with a story, and it is coming to you as a gift from someone else who has faced cancer, and her words and her story are here to lift you up and to help you feel less isolated. So really figuring out in your organization, what is your differentiator? What is the piece that sets you apart from the other organizations? And then that becomes your story. That becomes what you tell to people, that is how you drive your sales, how you promote, you know, new customers, how you, you know, talk to donors, is through your story. And it really comes back to, you know, that story as my second advice is really perfecting your story. And for us, you know, our story is this idea of connection and support and sharing your words of encouragement with others and what this sisterhood of the Traveling Scarves has become, and then digging down into one individual person who, you know, received this scarf and she opened it up and it had roses on it, and she had lost both her mother and her grandmother to breast cancer, and all three of them are rose gardeners. That's your story. What's your hook? What is your unique, you know, piece of your program that really is going to grab people's attention? So really perfect your story. And that can be whether you're, you know, selling microwaves or, you know, doing something with a nonprofit organization. I think, what's the story? What difference does it make in the world? So I would say, you know, my two words of advice would be, you know, really do a good search if someone else is doing your idea. And the second being, really perfect your story.
All right. So in close, you want to share some maybe new things or ways that people can become involved. And of course, I would love you to share how people can find you, how they can become involved on every level, whether they just want to be a donor. What you're doing is amazing. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that just aren't aware of it. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, the best way to find out more about us is our website. It's hopescarves.org. And there you can watch a 3-minute video that does a great job summarizing our program and helping explain Hope Scarves even more than I was able to. And people can get involved in a couple different ways. First of all, if you yourself are facing cancer, you can request a Hope Scarf on our website, hopescarves.org, and they're no cost. We send them to you directly. Or we have a gift scarf program. If you have a loved one or a friend who is facing cancer, you can go on our website and request a scarf be sent to someone you know. And you can include a personal message and make a donation in their honor, and the scarf will be sent directly to them with your words of encouragement. And then we have a partnership program. So if people are interested in bringing Hope Scarves to their local hospital, we have partner hospitals around the country where we work with them to have the scarves right there for patients at their point of treatment. So they get a Hope Scarf as part of their care. And we're really excited about that because that gets back to that collaboration idea and bringing the Hope Scarves to where patients are already going for support instead of them having to find us or go online and fill out the form. They have them right there at their hospitals. I'd also certainly love for people to just be aware that we're a nonprofit organization. We rely on donations to send scarves and stories around the country to talk with survivors and do writing workshops to collect their stories. And we're a nonprofit organization. Gifts are tax deductible. You can donate on our website, hopescarves.org. And we're really just at an exciting point, like I mentioned, about wanting to share our story and get the word out there. So if any listeners, you know, have connections with other, you know, media outlets or people who can help us share our story, I'm really excited to, you know, to just really help spread the word about what we're doing and have opportunities to continue to talk with people and just share my personal story and the story of Hope Scarves. So I love, you know, to be a public speaker. I've traveled around the country speaking at cancer symposiums and survivor events, motivational kind of speaking opportunities with corporations who are looking for like a public, you know, involvement piece and, you know, a way to give back. And so if anyone has ideas or, you know, helping just promote our organization, they can find our contact information on our website and they can email hello@hopescarves.org. And certainly are always open to ideas and creative opportunities to, you know, work together. So we're just, you know, I'm excited to share my personal story and help people live a life of gratitude. And also for the organization to grow and for me to be able to be a part of it for as long as I can.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing and what your organization is doing and just your really inspiring positive attitude that I think is great for anyone listening to this today. And I hope that our listeners will, you know, take heed and get involved in one of the ways that you shared, because I think it's really important. There's so many people dealing with breast cancer specifically, but other types of cancers. And, it, you know, what you're doing is just giving that little bit of sliver of hope and hearing other people's stories. I know from the many friends that I have had that have gone through this, it's knowing that somebody else has gone through this and feeling that connection, it inspires people. So thank you so much for, I think you're offering scarves, but you're really offering hope. And then, like you said, it isn't just hope for those that maybe are in a different place with it, but just support and encouragement is so incredibly important at a time when people are facing a really very difficult challenge. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for helping us tell our story and for letting me share my experience. You know, every time I get a chance to share our story, you never know where that ripple effect might be and who might be listening that can connect with us and or share our organization with someone else. So I'm honored to be able to speak with you today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I wish you the absolute best. I certainly will keep you in my thoughts and for you and your family.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.